I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, okay. I'm not. Show me Hannah's shot. Yeah. And wide shot.
I just need to new fix it.
And Jack and Daniel's shot. Show me. Yeah, okay. Okay, are we recording?
Yes.
Jesus, where are you going, Hannah?
I'm just going to fix the curtain. Because.
Daniel, don't do that sound because it drives me bonkers.
It's.
Jack. Let's go. Okay, let's do it funny then. Come on, let's do the funny thing. Okay. Okay, Daniel, do your impression of Cher singing Fuck Me in the Face.
Okay, yeah, because we love it.
Go on, we love it. We don't love it. Go on.
Okay. What? 3, 2, 1.
That was a personal thing. I don't want to share it with anyone.
Why not? Go on, Daniel.
I don't know. I don't want to.
Just do it.
No.
Just do it.
That was a special moment. Mm. Jack introduced
Take
the show.
Time.
Shut up.
Why is
David in such a bad mood?
I was fine until...
What happened?
Go on. Because, you know what I mean? It's like living with fucking X Factor contestants who come on. I do impressions of chickens. And the mother's on the side going, that's brilliant. It's not brilliant. You know what I mean? Let's go.
Do you think you're Simon Cowell or something?
I don't want to be. I hate X Factor. Okay.
You kind of loved it before.
Yeah, you kind of look like Simon Cowell.
We were all there.
Yeah, we watched it in the same way that you'd go into like a psychiatric unit and watch people unwell. Yeah, I did watch it, yeah. I'm ashamed of it, though. Guilty pleasure. Yeah.
You did watch also EastEnders when I met you.
Antiques Roadshow.
Avid.
Yeah, that was in the 80s, though, I think.
Oh, no, not in the 80s. I met you in 1991.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not as cool as you think you are, mate.
I don't think I'm cool at all.
I think you do.
Oh, God.
With your blonde hair, your fake blonde hair, and your little...
I think they're yellow.
Your silk scarf.
It's not silk.
You know, fake silk scarf and your little vape.
I'm so annoyed that this doesn't even annoy me.
Can I just say, Jack, can you just fix the blinds behind you? No, you have to just use your hand. Just that. That won't work.
What's
Daniel?
Your...
Yeah. Hmm. Okay.
Let's start this thing. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Please welcome to And That's Why We're Not Together, starring David McSavage and Hannah Andrews.
And welcome back after vacation, Prince Jack and Prince Daniel. This is the first And That's Why We're Not Together, I think since before we left.
We had one,
18th of November.
And we did one on the beach without Daniel, and we missed him terribly.
I asked Al Porter to come on the podcast today, but he said, I forgot, I'm doing the panto, so he's doing rehearsals for the panto.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, by the way, also, which is quite exciting, we as a family, as our podcast, and that's why we're not together, we have our first gig, and it is Talk the Talk Podcast Festival on Sunday, March the 10th.
Ooh, amazing.
Yeah. It's Sea Church. Does anybody know where Sea Church is?
It doesn't matter. It's a church. Maybe acoustics are really good. And they can really hear your voice, David.
And we're on the last day.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So the Blue Pinnacle. Blue Boy or Blind Boy. Fuck. You know, anyway. So listen, here's the thing, right? It holds about 100 people. So you're going to be on stage, Hannah.
Yeah, I'm frightened.
Only 100 people.
So will you be having a few drinks?
I'm not sure. No, I don't think I will have drinks because, you know, drinking just makes you forget things, I yep. think. It's just like your brain really slows down.
Yes.
Maybe I have a sniff something. I'm joking. That's poor joke. Maybe I take some mushrooms.
The big news is that on the day we were heading back to Dublin from Thailand, we were in the airport and we were trying to board a Turkish Airlines flight, but we couldn't because the tickets Hannah had bought were in sequence. So I
didn't know it. I mean, yeah, you know, well, like, so I bought the ticket. Look, I bought a ticket. And the first leg of a journey...
First leg, not lack. Yeah, go
leg.
On.
Yeah. That's what I said.
You said first leg of the journey.
Leg. Okay. Oh, I'm going to take elocution lessons.
Calm down, Simon, yeah? Fucking hell. You look... And you're more David Walliams than Simon Cowell anyway.
Go on, Hannah.
But anyway, so I bought the tickets. I pay my own money. And, you know, it's a different airline as well.
Okay.
So I'm thinking and again, I don't go there and then I just
This long walk into point where's
no,
the point?
No, you just interrupt me halfway
where, you know,
through.
You go in and then, you know, back in 1852, Poland got us into... Come on.
No, I'm just appearing at the airport in Phuket and then they tell me there's something wrong with my ticket.
I was just about to explain that. You bought a return ticket from Bangkok to Dublin and you thought you could pick up the flight at the, what do they call it when you do a flight has a sequence, you call it, there's a word for that flight.
Transfer.
Sequential.
No show.
No, come on.
Sequential.
This, I'm ashamed of myself.
You
I can't think
be.
Of it. So there's how many, they call it, not layovers.
Legs.
No, it's not leg. They have how many stopovers, stops
in,
or...
In sequence.
No. Okay,
stopover is a layover.
Yeah, stopover is a layover. How many, is it a direct, okay. Hannah bought a return from Bangkok to Dublin. Obviously, not a direct flight. There were certain stops. There was a stop in Phuket and a stop in Istanbul. Hannah thought we could pick up the flight in Phuket. We couldn't.
Phuket.
When we got... Fuck it. When we got to the airport, your man said, no, your flight is cancelled. And I'm going... And my instinct was, okay, fuck it. We'll buy... We'll just stay for the night and we'll buy a new ticket. Hannah was like, you're working against us.
Yes. I was ready to kill
someone.
And I was imagining that I was at Rambo. I just saw the film Rambo.
Well, so can I just say, actually, to people... actually, this might as well be a travel show, advice show. Because here's the thing. When you buy a ticket from, you know, here to there, and there's two stopovers, you can't pick that flight up in one of those stopovers. You have to get the flight from the origin...
Very beginning, wherever you bought it from.
The origin flight.
But this is
the origin flight.
This is the weird thing, right? Because it was a no-show, right?
What's a no-show?
A no-show is when someone doesn't show up, kind of.
You mean in Bangkok?
No, a no-show, right? It can be used for a lot of different things, like jobs, like whatever. You know, the mafia used to use it, you know, with no-shows. Anyway, so the no-show, we had a no-show, essentially, for our first flight. It's not a legal thing, but it's a policy that airlines take that if you don't show for your first flight on the sequence, they cancel the rest of your seats and they sell them off. The weird thing about our situation was we had arrived to Phuket because we were staying there, and they were informing us that they had not sold our seats. Our seats, because we had bought specific seats, and they were still there, available.
Yes, we hang on a second. We bought Hannah bought seats. from Bangkok to Phuket, Phuket to Istanbul, Istanbul to Dublin. But the point is, this was the day before. We hadn't bordered. So obviously they allowed you to buy seats because you hadn't, the ticket hadn't been cancelled.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, we're sitting there. Now, we deferred to Hannah's feeling on this, and so we were there and we didn't realize we were in a situation. And can I just say also,
sorry, you can't just put all the blame on Hannah. Let me put David, all, you know, we were all there, like, I know, processing.
Yeah,
you're trying to say, like, you were like saying, oh no, I wanted to do the exact opposite thing.
Okay,
you
know? can I?
You're a man, you should be like Napoleon, you know, you don't defer.
Shite film, by the way. I don't know if you've seen Napoleon. I don't know if you've seen Napoleon. Badly cast. French people are prickly coq sportifs. They're odd, they're weird, they're mercurial, they're like, you know, 1 minute of this, and then they cast this guy wrong. American dude. Why didn't they cast a French person? Number one. Number two, every 10 seconds, horses going in, horses coming out. Horses, horses, fucking horses, right? Number three, I don't care about some fucking love affair of some fanny. Just, you know, whatever. You know, this little Corsican, and then they just had lots of shots of, you know, Joaquin Phoenix. Look, fuck off. So boring. I'd say the French are raging. And can I just also say that, what's your man's name? Ridley Scott. I mean, he's over. He's finished. Shouldn't be making films anymore. He should be at an old people's home.
I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't like, it was like all right. Like, you know, I mean.
Daniel, David actually fell asleep, and he actually, I've never heard him snoring. He started to snore. So yeah. I had to poke him.
If you have trouble sleeping, go to Napoleon. Okay, so we're back in Phuket Airport. Right, arrived at Phuket Airport. And it's funny because I saw these two Irish guys who'd been stuck in the airport for 2 fucking days and their heads were wrecked and they were going, you know, oh, fucking fuck. And I'm kind of looking at them going, he's just badly organized or whatever, you know. And I kind of, you know, and little did I know that I was about to descend into the 7 fucking cycles of hell. So we were there and we were back to, and so first of all, we tried to get on the flight. Oh, sir, can you just go over to there? So, you know, we were waiting for like 2 hours to get to somebody to tell us to wait over there. Then we go over there and we're to-ing and fro-ing. We're talking to the supervisor. We can't get on the flight. Then he says to us, you have to contact your a travel agent, okay? You have to contact your travel agent. Hannah had booked these flights with a company called MyTrip. It's a website. There's no interaction with human beings. She's just there. Shut up!
Yeah, but hold on. Most people buy tickets through Skyscanner, and then that will bring you on to buying it through the online travel agent.
Yeah.
Because what they do is they can connect 2 different airlines' flights so that you don't have to buy through the singular airline.
All I'm trying to say is, so we don't have back when I was growing up, you'd have it, you know, Mary O'Rourke, she's your travel agent. None of that. There's no travel agent. So we're desperately trying
I can just imagine that you just wake up Mary O'Rourke like 3 o'clock in the morning and ask her to reissue.
So we're in
tickets.
Thailand and we're trying to contact somebody. We're trying to find a phone number attached to my trip. And also we've got our Thai Sims in. So it's going to be
just quite clever. Because you,
we can't contact the fucking
24/7.
We can't look, folks. We can't contact the travel agent. We're trying to find a number. Then we do find a number, and we tried to contact them. Couldn't get through. And then I had the bright idea to contact Mark Rothman in London, and I you know, rang him up and said, "Listen, we're trying to get our flights reissued. The original flight was from Bangkok. Now we're in Phuket. Can you ring up our travel agents and give them all our e-ticket number and information and see if they can reissue the ticket from fucking Phuket to Istanbul to fucking Dublin?" So we gave him this number, which turned out to be fraudulent. It was attached to the MyTrip travel agency.
But we gave 2 numbers.
We gave 2 numbers. Go on.
And because I texted, I think this is the more legit number.
No, this one you texted is a legitimate number, the Irish number.
And the one we said
but
over the
that's
phone.
That's why how they prey on people, because, you know, people in those situations, they go on Google search and they, you know, try to call the first number appears in the search. So Google, you know, updates those numbers all the time.
So, but we weren't even thinking that there were criminals at the gate at this point. We didn't know. I mean, I didn't know.
Oh, no, I didn't know about that scam. It's actually...
Okay, so then we get Mark Rothman. And I apologize for not telling this clearly or more succinct, because I don't know. Look, just let me get to it. Mark Rothman. He calls turns out to be the fraudulent representative of my trip who didn't anyway. So Mark was talking to this guy and he was texting us, hey, it looks like they're going to release the e-tickets, they're just waiting, it's only going to cost 290 quid. I'm saying great, they're having problems with my NatWest debit card or something like that, and you know, okay, really? And then, you know, and then he tried another debit card and they're still having problems with it, right? But as we're saying this, tickets are, it's ticking down to the gate closing. And it's an hour before, it's 45 minutes, 30 minutes. The supervisor was saying, we still have no message from the fucking travel agent. And I'm going, Mark, no, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Believe me, it's going to fucking happen. And then we're like, you know, 15 minutes. Mark, give him my fucking number.
I just think, did give Mark him, get a cut from listen, this?
Listen, I'm saying Mark.
He's like
Mark,
cooperating.
He's a fucking
them.
Lunatic that he didn't.
Yeah, he's cooperating.
We were all stressed out. He should have been going, David, this is absolutely not legit. You could just give your credit debit card over there. It's done. You know, and they're going, oh, it's we're having a problem with our accounting team. There's no accounting team. It's two cunts in some fucking place being cunts. Right. So then I said, give him my fucking number. Maybe it's your debit card that's not working. How does he know his debit card? This guy calls me.
Instantly.
And it says reservations team. And he quoted Mark Rothman's name. I've just been talking to your friend Mark Rothman, so I mean I think it's legit. Just push this payment through, and this payment came up. He took down my Monzo debit card details, all the things, and started asking me security questions. I think at some point, you know, what my address was, what my blah blah blah, and then he said, okay, just push the payment through, and then this figure, well, there was PKR 1 million something something. Right, and then there was a figure 324, and I thought, well, 3-2-3-2-3-2-4. So I just pushed the payment, I pressed it, and then I checked my Monzo, and I just approved £3,454.11.
Because, lads, whenever you have
Jack,
a
it's
payment,
your fucking money too, you ding dong.
Well, I know, but I had to. I had to.
Go on.
You've got to look what it is.
Oh, listen.
Step back. It's your money. Jack was it, and you saw territorial. Like, I wanted to look what it is, but you just, like, you know, take off your glasses and put your eye into a phone because he's so blind.
Oh, and I have a video of me when just immediately after it happened, and he's saying, what's your name? And then he said, Alan. No, Alan what? Just Alan. Who are you representing? He said, Skyways. Huh? And then I called him a fucking...
Cunt.
Then, yeah.
But like, what? Did it get you money back?
He's laughing.
But
so
now,
apparently, there is the money in Monzo might be insured. My money might be insured, and there is, you know, these scamming. What do they call them? Push payment
scammers.
Authorized
push payments.
So if that doesn't work, then you can go to the ombudsman, and you know, there's. So I don't know. I mean,
are you gonna go all the way?
Oh yeah, but I mean, I wrote down all the evidence to prove that what happened, and I was legitimately scammed. But I assume the
and
money went. Oh yes,
scam.
And then we got an email somehow. No, you got an email because you'd bought the tickets from a company saying that they've overcharged us to the tune of 3,454 quid, and that we will get that money back. But the only reason those scammers sent that email so you wouldn't dispute it with your debit card company, but. I assume that money's gone. It's finished. But I hope that my money is insured. But then I look up on Google, and it says that 6% of money that gets scammed in this way gets returned from Monzo, as opposed to TSB, who like a 90% return. So they're apparently the most. You get most scammed on Monzo, and it's the least likely to get your fucking money back.
Because it's like Revolut, you know, they make banking and they make making payments much easier.
Right.
But I guess the negative side of that is that, you know, there's not as many things in place, contingencies in place. So maybe so that, you know, those things like Revolut and Monzo, they're kind of used for use for small payments and stuff.
Yeah, you shouldn't keep a lot of money on your Revolut. It just transfer or Monzo. You have another account. And then, you know, like you put as much as you need. So if you had that, you wouldn't have 3,000 on your Monzo. You know,
well,
what
I don't.
I mean?
I don't have it now. Anyway, they've sorted that out for me.
That's what you have to do. Have another card and transfer to your Monzo account whatever you need. You know what I mean?
This is my impression of David's Monzo account.
So then the fucking gate closed. So we couldn't get on the Turkish Airlines flight. And as I was leaving, and you know, the people that we were having this dispute with, saying, "You're going to get lots of bad luck" or something. Anyway, I walked away.
And then shrugged the shoulders.
Yeah, and then we had to buy a ticket with Etihad for £1,700 sterling. Mm. And then we stayed in a little fucking bedsit or whatever. No, we stayed in a hotel in Phuket just near the airport, and it was grand. I mean, you know, but yeah, it was really, really fucking horrifying. It was really horrifying. It's the wrong term, but it was very.
Yeah, it was sort of traumatic.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, it was
traumatic
pretty
on a different level. It's not like a war situation, but it is traumatic. It's just like.
So I guess what advice could you give people if you're in a situation where you fucked up your flight and they're not letting you board because you've transgressed some, you know, invisible terms and conditions that you didn't know about, and they tell you to contact your fucking thing, your travel agents. I don't even think it is a thing that they can reissue.
I don't think so either. So really take a
pause. And if you're talking to somebody and they're saying to approve a payment, just be super cynical and critical of that. I mean, having said that, I mean, I thought I had a head on my shoulders.
I think, you know, because at the very beginning, like, it's very difficult with these, the people working there, because they don't, you know, they've been given a kind of, you know,
a standard operating procedure.
They're saying, like, listen, like, you can't help. You got to get people moving quick so we can get all these customers processed. So they're not really caring about one person.
But they shouldn't be there.
For me, if I was to give advice, if you're in these kind of situations, is obviously with the thing of hindsight, make sure that you're able to do whatever you want to do, research it and everything. But if you are in that situation...
You mean, when you buy your flight, know what you can and can't do.
But then if you're in that situation where you're at the desk... and another thing, if you can't check in online... There's an issue, okay?
Yes.
If you can't check in online, that's an indication. That's an indication of an issue. But when you're there, don't be aggressive with the people who are working there. You know, don't be trying to argue. Just try and find the facts and just tell them, listen, don't bullshit me. Can I get on this flight or not if I figure it out? Because it would have been so much more helpful if they just said, listen, you can't get on the flight. And then we could have gone on and figured it out. But also,
they weren't telling us that. I was working against us.
They weren't saying that.
You were saying that to me,
David. You see,
this is what you're doing now. You're shutting me down, and you're
David,
bollocking me.
David, you just want to, you know, say that you were more clever than you were. I'm sorry. The biggest mistake is approve the payment. No matter how far you go, shouldn't have done it.
Can't argue with that.
That's the biggest mistake. And, you know, like you're doing this, your eye to the phone and pressing. You have to look. You have to think.
We thought our tickets would get reissued. We were so desperate to get on the stupid fucking flight.
That's the thing.
Not only did we not get on the flight, down £3,454 and then another £1,700. It's like life went, oh, come here over here. Fuck you. No. And just a little, fuck you. Slam dunk. And then those two guys who I thought were, you know, oh, we've had a nightmare, and I'm looking down on them. And then suddenly they've had a good time compared to fucking me.
But listen,
3,000.
That's why you see, you cannot.
I'll be in an old people's home. I'll be talking about this.
So I, listen.
But the only good thing, can I just say, about a really bad thing happening to you as an Irish person is sharing it with other Irish people. Mm. That's one of the. I don't know if it's the only positive. You know, because when I come back,
and I think you should go on Joe Duffy.
When you go, but yeah, when you go back, okay, Hannah. When you go, yeah, okay, I'll do it in a second. When you go to Irish people, and it just elicits oceans of empathy. I got scammed for 3,400. Jeez, you're absolutely kidding me.
How did you feel?
So it's actually a gift. It's a Christmas gift.
How did you feel?
I'm doing the comedy, Hannah. It's a Christmas gift. We'll do that now. This story is a Christmas gift to Irish people because it's a horrible amount of money to have ripped off me. Or will I get it back? Doubtful. And it makes you feel better about your own shitty lives and your lack of achievements. Hannah, okay, you be Joe Duffy. Hi, Joe.
Hi, David. What happened?
That's not Joe Duffy's voice. Hell yeah.
Okay, you do it.
No, go on. No, do it. Hell yeah.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Hello, Joe. Yeah, I just got scammed in Phuket for £3,454.
Oh, yeah? When did it happen?
It happened on the 4th of December, Joe.
And how did you feel?
I felt awful, Joe. It was horrible.
How awful?
It was the worst feeling. I've never felt as bad as I did in that moment, financially speaking. I felt violated. I felt stupid, humiliated, yeah.
Stupid, humiliated.
Yeah.
And what else? How else did you feel?
Embarrassed. Disgusted.
And what did you think about those people who scammed you?
I thought they were terrible people, Joe.
Terrible, terrible. Me and Jack listened to Joe Duffy, and Jack listened for the first time, and he's a fan. He loves Joe Duffy.
It was great, you know. It's like I've never heard anything like it, you know. I think it's good, you know.
It's very unique.
It was great though because you know, he's talking to this guy Marty or something, and Marty's you've been working for 60 years. You're up at 6 a.m. every day at six. Okay, and you can see he's having a good time. They're having a laugh, and then Marty starts. Oh, I have kids. Oh yeah, how are the kids? And he's like, they're well. Well, one of them, you know, one of them has a bit of an issue. You know, she's got some health issues. And then, you know, it's just there's a pause, and he goes, oh really? There's a problem. You know, his whole
the timbre of his voice changes.
Yeah, it all changed, and it's all low, and it's like,
oh, he gets very vaginal when he hears
and
sad
he
stories.
Really, he really does, like, he is the embodiment of Ireland, of Irish people hearing terrible news, because, you know, no one wants to hear someone else doing well.
Well, you know, no, but certainly we do love to tune into other people. Yeah, go ahead, Carl. And then, yeah, oh, yeah.
You do it
anyway, go on.
Well.
So listen. So the thing is, I don't know. It's incredible though that in those moments when your flight, the gate of your flight is closing, and you're trying to get a ticket reissued, so you Google search the travel agents that you booked it with. So it could have been My Search up. Think of all the My Search. Think of all the names of the travel agents.
Hmm.
My Trip, what's the other one? Opodo, Gongongdo, Trivago, whatever.
Kayak.
So then there's all these little vulture criminals attaching. I don't know how they do it with their webs, with their websites, and they attach fucking numbers, and then little fucking OAPs like me, little fucking dementia people.
I want to book my ticket.
No problem, sir. I'm not going to do the accent. No problem, sir. Yes. And he didn't know anything about it. Yes, I can see. Can you just give me, yes, your flight? Oh, no, you can probably look at the flight. It's public information.
Yeah, and he asked for all the information.
Yeah, information.
Should I make a
statement? I'm a bit of a fucking agent. £290 to reissue the ticket. That can't actually be reissued. And the fucking Turkish Airlines fucker should have known that. So you can't actually reissue your ticket. That can't be done. And this scam has happened before. And we know the fucking road you're being led down. Willingly, by the way. I willingly walked into my own fucking robbery. Hello, can you rob me, please? I'm over here. Yeah. I have, here's my debit card details. Yes, £290. £290, yeah, I assume, I trust you, I've never met you in my life, that it is £290. Doesn't look like £290, but I'll prove it anyway. You fucking idiot.
Yeah, but you know...
Yeah, you are a fucking idiot. And do you mind me asking you, how long have you been a fucking mom?
All my life?
Yeah, yeah.
But what I just want to say that they are so clever that they wait to the last moment because he prolonged it.
Oh,
kept you waiting.
Kept me waiting. Oh, that's right. That's right.
You get
waiting, in the situation that is the last moment
that you don't have enough time, you think, to look and whatever. And then, because it's just push the button.
But also, losing that amount of money makes you a bit philosophical as well, because, you know, it didn't make me think, well, you know, it's a huge amount of money. Jack's okay, Daniel's okay, Hannah's okay. Fuck you. And do you know what it is as well? Because I've lost that amount of money, I'm going to make way more money than I would have made if I hadn't lost that amount of money. So in a way, it was like fucking smelling salts. It's kick up the arse. And everybody's trying to rip you off just little bits. Little venues, they're all trying to fucking, you know, put this charge. Fuck off, the lot of you. And in a very unemotional, very business-like way, I'm going to just plan the year ahead and make money and buy a fucking house and then just stand at the front door of the house, and as people walk by, fuck you, I own a house, you fucks.
But they also own the house. So like, who
Well,
I'm
a fucking house owner like you, so don't be looking down on me, you fuck. Measuring your self-importance by the fucking size of your house. Look at the size of my house.
But I think that's what you are doing.
Huh?
Measuring your importance by size of your house.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm very confused. Okay. Let's talk about the holiday itself. we stayed in this hotel, which was very White Lotus.
Oh, yeah.
And it was called
Resort.
The Cove.
The Cove, yeah.
So when you there's no reception desk. Right, so there's this woman called Rachel from, I don't know where, she's from England somewhere.
England,
and you kind of, you know, do you want to go to Thailand to meet somebody from England? Not really. You know, I mean, you know, in the hotel. And so she's like the human embodiment of the reception. She's sort of like
she's floating
around the place. And I don't think, it doesn't suit, it's just a bit odd. You know, like, okay, well, you know, I want the reception over there. No, she's the reception. Yeah, and she's coming up to you. Like, I don't want to necessarily, you know, have a friendship. You know, I just want
to... But you poured your heart out.
Hannah, she makes me feel nervous. So I just started talking to her and playing along with the whole pretend thing.
What was David doing?
He was
drooling over her. You know, when David is impressed by a woman and he doesn't have time to think, like push button the same way.
It's so misreading of the situation. I have a nice girlfriend who I drool over. I don't need, I wasn't.
Do you? Do you take her around or you just hide her?
What did she say, Daniel? What did she say, Daniel?
That you're hiding your girl.
Do you take her around or do you hide her?
I don't know.
My girlfriend is hidden in the boot of my car.
Okay.
He doesn't have
a car. So anyway, I'm just saying that you walk in, you don't know what the situation is, and there's this sort of roving reception human person, you know, going around and sort of sitting down and, you know, you know the way, like, you know, you're ordering food and somebody sits down and just, hey, how you doing? Like, okay, you know, just, I just want a fucking bit of a chicken. Would you fuck off? Like, you know, it's just a bit... And also, okay, so there's that. So there's a bit sort of like a mental hospital, and she's like a, you know, Nurse Ratched, and she's just kind of, you know, and, you know, okay, huh? Can you just...
I think she hypnotized you.
You all right?
You know,
You know what she's there for? She's there for the general, like, she's there for the English or Irish customer that goes over and is like a bit like... It's a bit weird here in Thailand, you know. Does anyone speak English here?
Right.
I can't understand it. Oh, yeah. There she is. And she appears like out of the bushes, like, hello.
She's like a rescue team.
She's like, hello, mm-hmm. Welcome. A bit of civilization in this whole...
Well, you see, it's funny, Jack, because I want to meet Thai people. I've gone to Thailand. I don't want to meet, Janice from Shropshire. You know. Anyway, listen.
I'm just surprised if you don't. Why did you spend so much time talking to her?
I didn't spend so much time talking to her.
No, you did. All of a sudden, she meets Jack, and you know, asks him that we got a ticket. You know, after riding motorbikes. How did she know? You must have told her.
Okay, Hannah. Listen. So even the
were just like reporting to her.
By the end of the holiday, she knew David's PPS number.
So the house. So they had. They, we were.
I
saying,
hope you didn't give her your number to get to your account.
So we were staying in this villa, right? Downstairs in the villa, it had two stories. It was furnished on the top story. The story downstairs, there's fuck all there. So it was just like empty rooms. with a kitchen that said, don't fucking use this kitchen, even though they didn't say it. It was clear, don't fucking use this kitchen. So it was really, that was a bit of a joke. And also, it looked like they bought a house next to the hotel, because it was just a house on a little driveway, and it was looking out onto the arse end of a fucking staff quarters or something. Right, fine. But it was a nice enough house. I mean, we didn't care really that much. And then there was one moment that they had these big, what you call them, those surfing boards that you stand on, paddle boards. And I say, oh yeah, can I use that? No, sorry, that's the owner's. You can't use that. It's only the owner's. And I'm thinking, if you have a hotel and you've got, you know, don't say shit like that. Let the fucking people who stay here play around your piddly little fucking paddle board. Oh, it's the owner's. I'm going to bring my own paddle board, for fuck's sake.
Why don't you rent it? Anyway, but anyway.
So that was a bit odd, right? That sort of stuff. But the staff from Thailand, lovely.
Bit over the top at times, you know.
Yeah,
because you're there.
Thank you,
car. You're there. You're walking out, and there was one who was like, she come out and the face on her, she's smiling. How was your day?
Yeah, but they're bored shitless. I like that. I think they're very nice. And you know, your one Rachel, she was okay, but I don't think the job description it would be very difficult to do for any type of personality to be that, you know. So you're suddenly, you are the reception. Like there is no reception, so she is the point of thing, and it's kind of weird.
She's like a wedding planner, you know.
Is that
like
a thing in hotels?
I'm not sure. I've never seen anything.
She's like guest
that.
Relations. That would be her title, something like guest relations, you know.
Yeah,
she's
odd.
A bit of a manager. She helps out here and there with a bit of serving drinks, but her main job.
That's such a boutique resort. It's not a resort. There are just three bungalows in the house, and that's it.
Well, I would also say I realized when I got to Thailand, I actually don't know what I want from a holiday when I got there. Because do you want to stay in a resort that's like any place you could stay anywhere in the world? You're in Thailand, you know, you want to see Thailand. Or maybe that's for me. Other people, they want to stay in a place where you can get a bowl of cornflakes and a fucking Snickers and, you know.
Yeah, and you wanted just to sit on the beach and have your salad. No, that's when we were going.
You said, I have this tickly cough because of the going in and out of fucking air-conditioned rooms. Okay, go.
And then you wanted to read your book.
Which I didn't read a page of.
You wanted to swim. But also the funny thing is that that little cove we were staying, the bay, you couldn't swim, actually.
You could swim.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
No, it was so shallow.
So what? You could still swim.
You could just go. No, you couldn't.
It wasn't shy.
You had to go to the next beach, and it was amazing. No, you couldn't.
I swam in it.
No, you couldn't.
I liked it.
Because you said, oh, because you save you, you never drown.
I liked it. It was a swimming place. Don't mind Hannah.
It's like going for a swim on Sandy Man's Strand.
Okay, listen, here's the thing as well. I realise I still carry the trauma of the Irish Sea, even though I was in Thailand. It took me a few days to get my head around the fact that the sea isn't absolutely horrifying and cold. And, you know, like, you go into the water in Thailand, there's no rejection, there's no shock.
No.
You just go in, and it's like, and actually,
welcoming woman.
Yeah, yeah, welcoming
with
woman.
Big breasts, you can sink into.
But it's really, really nice, and you know, the feeling I did when I came back from Thailand to Ireland, you just think this country is actually uninhabitable. People should not be living here.
In Ireland?
No, it's too cold. The sea is looking back at you and saying, fuck off. The weather is saying, no, go away, get inside. And I think the sea, like, you know the way these dorky people, I love swimming in the cold sea. And then they go in, like, even the sea is going, what the fuck are you doing in me? Would you ever fuck off? And they never stay around. And the fact that they go on about that they're in the sea, you know, it requires no intelligence or creativity to jump in the fucking sea. And people go on about it like it's a great fucking achievement.
I think you're so wrong.
So, you know, it's like people who go on about drinking pints. Oh, I drank 5 pints. You poured liquid into your fucking Gulliver. Shut up. Babies drink fucking tit milk when they're born.
Yes.
You're annoying me.
I think that drinking alcohol, it has nothing to do with dipping in the sea.
I'm saying the people who go on about jumping into the sea here, you don't go on about it in Thailand because it's not a problem.
Because you don't need to.
You don't need to because it's just like...
There's no challenge.
Yeah, right. But that's the way it should be.
There's no oxygen in Thailand, what?
But also, I think
that's what I'm saying,
Thailand,
Anna, that you shouldn't be. You shouldn't. The fact that you have to mention that it's such a challenge to jump in the sea tells you that you shouldn't be living here. It's uninhabitable.
What about like Siberia or something?
Yeah, exactly. Siberia.
You shouldn't live there. But like Ireland's not a Siberia. There's never minus 5 or 6 in Ireland. It rarely goes below 0.
It's like living on the surface of Mars here.
Listen, I actually appreciate living in Ireland, you know. When we were the last 2 days on our holidays, it became really sunny. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't cope with that heat. I was so happy that we were in between seasons, that it was overcast, a bit rainy. Because last day, me and Jack, we went on a scooter and we were supposed to have like half an hour drive. Like after 10 minutes, I got a panic attack. I was just having a stroke.
Yes, because you were cycling at the wrong time of the day.
Yeah, but like the day is really short. The sun sets at 6 o'clock, so you have to get up really early.
That's why you have to go really fast on the scooter and then it's colder.
We did. Jack went 70 kilometers and
I didn't.
Heart attack. Yes, you did.
I did at one point, but I was keeping a cool 50.
What was nice was when it was the start of the rainy season, and what was quite weird was you walk around the rain
it's the
and
end
it's warm.
Of rainy season.
And you kind of don't notice it.
No.
And you get dry really quickly.
Yeah,
so you can just walk
and
around.
It's warm and it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, also, like, there are good things about Ireland. Like, there's certain things about Ireland that I like, I think.
Can we talk about John McDonough in a pool?
Oh, go on then.
Just, you know, the rules.
Jesus Christ.
With John McDonough.
John McDonough is the director of the Guard and Calvary and all the rest of it, and nice bloke, and his Mrs. Lizzie was there, and we happened to cross over our holidays at the same time, and so we started playing pool. But John has these rules. What are they, Jack?
Well, apparently we were in the wrong because we were playing with Dublin rules. Dublin rules, you know. And
well, you shouldn't be playing Dublin rules.
So, you know, I don't know. People in the comments section can tell us. So the biggest things were carryover shots when you don't hit the ball or you pot the white ball. Is that the way I play and the way I think you played it is that if you pot the first shot and miss the second shot, you don't get a carryover shot because you don't get 2 free shots.
Speak into the microphone.
I am. You don't get 2 free shots.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And then another thing was when you pot the white ball and you bring it out, you can hit it anywhere on the table. You know, you don't have to go down the table. You can go up the table.
Yeah.
You know, and it's frustrating. It was frustrating, you know.
well, yeah. Like with John, yeah. When people start going on about that, like okay then. And I think Jack was like. He wanted to kind of get into it, but John is very fastidious. He has his
ways of doing. Yeah, he's got his sets of rules. Like
you know
we
I mean?
All, you know, like you have in some areas.
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
like
yes.
You don't
yes.
like someone, you know, making noise behind you.
Yes,
but you
know what I have to say. I enjoy people like John that when you're playing a game like pool, because a lot of time you play pool or something, and some person's not into it, and the games are only fun if you're
that's right.
if you're super competitive.
Yes, yeah.
Like you have the most fun playing it if you're competitive. So it was the most entertaining games of pool.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't agree with his rules, but that's fine.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
We had some good games. And he's pretty good at pool, I have to say. He beat me so many times. I could only beat him once, you know.
I think I was the best.
I don't know.
No, to be fair.
John, I think he won.
I was probably the best.
First day, John was the best, and then David was the best after the first day.
Daddy. My daddy is better than you.
Okay. It was so frustrating losing against David as well. I can't, like, you know. And then and the pain of losing was so much stronger than the joy of victory.
The pain of losing was stronger than the joy of victory. So, Daniel, while we were away, you were doing your course. And it's quite intense, the course. Daniel's doing this acting course. In what's the place that you're doing it in, Daniel?
Yeah, it's Liberty's College, or you call it Bull Alley. Bull Alley. Yeah.
Where is that?
It's just like around Patrick's Cathedral. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
So you've got this assessment coming up on Wednesday, and it's Daniel's least, I guess, least favorite part of the acting thing, which is it physical movement? Well, I guess it does have a point to do.
There's obviously physical movement, but it's just the dancing aspect. The dancing aspect to it. Well, like, I mean, I like dancing, but, like, you know, like in the club, or like, you know, disco, or
yeah,
or like, you know, kind of like easy.
Right.
This is like kind of more musical,
choreographed
and musical theater style. And
so do you have to choreograph a piece that they assess?
No. They teach us a choreographed piece that we.
And have you practiced it a few times?
Yeah, I've done it in class.
And how long does it take to do?
Oh, it takes, I don't know, maybe 15-20 minutes or
fuck off.
Fifteen, twenty minutes.
Well, yeah, I mean, because, like,
what do you mean? You're moving around. You're leaping about the
place. Because there's several different choreographed pieces that, like, you know, they assess you in each one.
Ah,
like,
stop it, Daniel.
Like, dice. Yeah, like, no. Honestly,
the first class I went into that they were doing the dancing class, it was like real, like, intense, and I was like, holy shit.
Physically you were wrecked after?
It wasn't that I was wrecked. It was just that they were doing moves that I just, like, wasn't like. They were expecting people to do moves that, like, already people would be dancers already.
Oh, right.
Like pirouettes and shit.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just,
like Louis, what's your man?
Louis Spence.
Louis Spence.
Yeah,
from the
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just dance, gorgeous.
I don't know.
But
I mean,
15 or 20 minutes is a long time, Hannah.
Well, you know, well, yeah.
Is it a few separate pieces?
Yeah, it's a few separate pieces.
So you have 1 2-minute, 1 3-minute.
So it will. That's God, Daniel, harder. When they're assessing you, is it just you doing it?
No, it's me and three other people.
And is it three girls or three?
Yeah, it's three girls. Yeah.
Three.
Are you throwing them in the air?
No, because we're all doing individual.
Oh, yeah,
individual, like, piece together.
But I think Daniel will take it seriously, and he'll give it his best shot. And I think they see that, and that tips the thing in your favor. I mean,
and what's the most difficult?
What's the most difficult?
You know,
moves.
Oh, there's like. I don't know. There's like Beyonce style movement there,
stop
like
it.
You know, like
shake your booty.
Yeah, kind of like shaking your hips side to side. And
oh yeah,
it's just like, oh, I don't know.
Very un-Irish.
Do you have to jump in the air?
Yeah, you have to jump in the air as well.
Like, yeah. And do like a squat, not squat, but like what do you call it?
Split.
Sort of split in the air. Yeah.
Ah, stop it.
Do you actually?
Yeah.
Oh,
I can't imagine Brendan Gleeson. Okay, Brendan, we're doing our acting classes. Yeah. Now, just lep about the place now.
No, I think it's a physical movement, physical.
No, it's great. It does open you up.
Yeah, physicality is so important.
And you feel a bit gay-like.
Yeah, a little bit.
You feel a little bit gay after the classes.
Lady boy.
Oh, yeah. Actually, those massages that we got in town were very good, because me and Hannah... Jack, did you do them?
I wasn't impressed, really, to be honest.
I was impressed with the foot massages. And I know people will think Thailand... I'm sure there's loads of happy ending places. But if you're going for a happy ending, then it's not really about massages. You're going for a...
Yeah.
You're going for... La, 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 la. You're going for a... anyway, sorry. So there was one, and I actually, the best massage I think I got was from a lady boy.
Yeah, and you were so resistant to get it from a ladybug.
No, it just was a bit odd.
So we were walking around as when we were in Krabi trying to find a place without ladybug.
Yeah, no, wait a second.
There was
Hannah,
none.
Hannah, there was. I walked past one place and they were all ladyboys. And then I just thought, that's it. But then I felt bad. And then I went, and the best foot massage I had was from a ladyboy. It was fucking, it was really, 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 like a properly, when they know exactly the pressure points and where to do.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're communicating through these pressure points. And then they press a point and then you feel it here.
And then they pressing one point and you look down and like, oh shit.
Huh?
Hey, how long have we been broadcasting?
50 minutes.
Oh. Feels longer.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the ladyboys, they're stronger, so they have more agency, if you will.
But
I think
it's not about foot massage. It's not necessary the strength. It's just where you press it and how you press it. Obviously, the strength is important.
To be honest, I was very disappointed with the foot massage.
There was one.
I really thought like they're just rubbing my leg. You know,
there was one person that kept it. She was doing this to my like that. It was really sore on my fucking toes.
Yeah, I don't like that bit either. But I like when they press. You know,
Jesus.
David, you're just killing yourself.
Hannah, it's fucking from the...
No, it's from your vape. It's proven that it's toxic and kills you slowly. So, folks, stay away from vaping. And now he's just taking paracetamol. Like, this. Do you have water?
Hannah,
he drinks it with Lucozade. This is like, you know... The recipe, how to get really healthy.
Have you got some water?
Yes. Just don't make noise, David.
Hmm?
Nothing. Speak to the microphone. Okay.
But I think it was a really nice thing when we rented scooters. And the next holiday, we will go on another holiday, and this time it's going to be the whole family, which I'm really looking forward to. Because I like the little bubble that we get into. So it'll be nice. It'll be Jack, Daniel, me, Hannah.
And
it's nice. You kind of have your, you know, and you can, and we know each other so well that, you know, we can just chill out. You can have breakfast when you want to. You do your own thing. Then we meet up. But go on, what were you going to say?
No, surprisingly, we really did not have any really arguments. And
yeah, because you were stoned the whole time.
No, yeah. I was the mediation expert.
Oh, yeah,
on the trip.
Yeah.
No,
you're right.
I wasn't.
Well,
we were close at times.
Can we just say that marijuana or the weed or whatever you want to call it in Thailand, the type of stuff that Hannah was smoking was actually very, very mild. And I don't think you can get it here.
I don't think so. I'm not.
And it's not even. It's not even giggly.
Yourself.
It's not even giggly weed.
No.
It's just very
outdoor grown. Outdoor.
Yeah.
It's very.
You could
chilling.
You could choose what if you want the outdoor, or the indoor grown, and the outdoor grown is obviously it's like organic. You know, it's grown with the sun instead of lights, and you know that obviously affect. Like if you grow vegetables, you know if you grow a tomato in its natural environment first, because it's so hot in Thailand. So you can grow weed outside. You can grow fruit and vegetables outside. You don't need to make an artificial environment.
Oh, I see. Right. So weed, marijuana just grows lovely naturally.
Yeah,
there.
It's like in Mexico. If you watch Narcos in Mexico, they show how because it's so hot in the desert, they needed to irrigate it for marijuana to grow. But because of the heat, they could grow it outside and they could grow really good stuff, you know.
And this idea of over here just lacing it and just getting it more and more and more strong. Like, what the fuck? It's like having a... It's like growing, I don't know, like carrots that are 200 feet tall or something for no reason.
No,
just enjoy the fuck... You know what I mean? Everything has to, you know... It's all this progressive stuff. You know, some things are fine the way they are. Weed was okay. Leave it alone.
Well, it's like vegetables, fruit and vegetables. They're meant to have blemishes. They're meant to have all these kind of things. Mm. But you go to the supermarket, and when they're sorting through the fruit and vegetables for the supermarket, they're trying not to put
and
any
can
of the
I say
apples
to,
with black spots.
Yes,
there's nothing wrong with it.
And can I also say to the younger women out there who are looking for potential love partners, men are the same as vegetables.
Yeah.
We have blemishes. We're not perfect. You know, we're not symmetrical. We're not this, we're not that. We're real men. We're hairy. We're organic.
Organic,
you know. Well, we're not photoshopped Brazilian models, ladies, you know. And we'll be much, you'd have much more fun with us because we're more grateful.
Well, so I have, you know, it also works the other way. So, you know, like women are also not perfect. One test for men, if they deserve a woman, any woman, is just ask them, do you like hairy vagina? If they can't cope with it, that means they know.
Hannah, you wear your two sons. Like, I love the way I looked at my two sons. Like, I'm trying to put myself in the position of them. And if my mother said, and I think a really good test for a man is that you, to find out if he is a potential partner, is to say to him, do you like a hairy vagina?
Yes. And if he embraces and he's okay, then we can move on. Otherwise, he's, you know, like, he's not able.
Okay, well, come on, ask your sons. Do they
I don't want to ask my sons.
Well, you've heard
I'm asking in general.
Go away.
Daniel.
No.
I mean, why, you know, like,
you're
I'm
a 30-year-old man now.
I'm not
asking
Ben.
Do you like a fucking hairy vagina?
I don't want to know what they...
I like a vagina, like a field, like bits of bushes and twigs and lovely little tufts of grass.
If any man thinks that a hairy vagina is not normal, then they just have no clue.
Yes. Do you think men are out there... Yeah, do you think men are out there who thinks vaginas are not hairy?
Yes, I think so.
Really?
I think so. Or maybe they don't accept it, or they think they better than
that. Do you think women feel pressurized into shaving their vajayjayjayjays?
Maybe they want to as well. Yes. But that's the thing. If a man thinks that hairy vagina is not normal, then he's just not equipped to appreciate the faults and beauty of a woman. Or species.
But what I'm saying is, do you think, I wonder what percentage of women... have hairy vaginas.
I think maybe
the whole of France.
Some French women like it, but in general, most of women, they shave themselves. It's just like, it's actually nice to be shaven. Like Korean and Asian, like men and women, they love shaved bodies. Both of them.
Jack and Daniel have tuned out.
I'm just looking at the percentage.
Jack, don't be looking up that stuff.
Why
Go
not?
On.
That's interesting. Because only I think French women so confident in their own beauty, in, you know, that they can have hairy armpits and hairy vaginas.
I think they're just inconsiderate. Just in general, the French are a bit inconsiderate, but maybe not in that regard. I'm not saying anything about that.
You know, I'm just saying that French are the most sophisticated nation.
I'm just saying you can be sitting in Paris having a bit of breakfast at 9 o'clock in the morning, minding your own business, not being a stupid tourist, eating early in the day, and a general worker in a suit and tie could walk by you and just say, without provocation, "Fuck you."
I did that story on the Instagram, talking about you and your mate Tony. And your man going, "Fuck you,
fuck you."
But I remember when I was growing up, like when I was a teenager, and you know. In the late 80s, early 90s, women didn't shave their fannies.
How many fannies did you see?
Not many, but I mean, the fannies that I saw, they were all hairy.
And what did you feel?
Well, I didn't know. To me, a shaved fanny would have been weird. Do you know what I mean? It'd be like, for fuck's sake, what's wrong with that? You know what I mean? It would be weird. It would be like, I don't know.
Having alopecia?
No, yeah, it would be like seeing a rabbit without hair.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Have you ever seen an owl without its fur?
Yeah, it'd be like seeing an owl without its fur. What the fuck, Jack? What? Anyway.
It's interesting. I mean, you should look it up. Anyone at home, it's quite an eye-opening thing to see an owl without its hair.
But
it's got very long legs.
But like, how does this happen even? How do the people have the picture an owl without hair?
Well, I can imagine if there's a dead owl and you're curious, you might shave it.
Oh my God.
Can you pause it, Jack? Daniel? Just for go for a pee.
Okay. Are we not?
We can keep her.
Are we back?
Yeah,
bye. Daniel?
Yeah.
do we want to do Nicholas open the cage?
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah, yeah.
E-F-G-H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P.
Peter.
Yes.
Wait.
Oh, wait.
You're not meant to wait.
All you have to do.
Can I just say, how do you feel?
You're meant to keep going, and then I put it in, and it's like a little thing, you know.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. I think almost that if you go beyond the point of, like, open the cage, then it becomes this, you know, otherworldly potential bit that we're doing. So we just have to drive through this open the cage thing.
I think it's lovely, and he's endless. Like, we saw. You know,
it's really not about Nicolas Cage. It's about humanity, really.
Yeah, because Nicolas Cage, he just embraced.
Okay, Hannah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So Nicolas Cage, actually, he's announcing that he plans to say adios to film acting. So he wants to. He wants to spend more time with his family.
I bet you his family are in bits about that. Oh my God, he's going to spend more time with us. Fuck.
Yeah.
This fucking lunatic.
But he says that he has at least another 3 or 4 films, so he just wants to cram them in, you know, like. Mm. Yeah, oh, well, I still got 3 or 4.
Well, why don't you give me some of the films that you're not going to do, you son of a bitch?
Yeah, he wants to do TV acting, like, you know, series and stuff. Like, that's what he wants.
Still acting.
Yeah, I know, but. Just film acting. He doesn't want to be in films anymore.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
I see,
yeah. TV films.
Yeah.
Yes.
I not TV. No, he just wants to be in TV shows. Like, you know.
I can't wait for Nicolas Cage to be in it. Like, imagine Nicolas Cage starring in True Detective or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be amazing. I think he'd be great. On a TV show.
In this one, yeah.
Yeah. has he ever been in a TV show?
I don't think so. I can't think of it.
I don't think so.
Because he's a real legit movie actor, isn't he?
Yeah.
Jack, we started to watch
Renfield. Yeah,
Renfield. It's so bad.
So shit.
We just laugh. I'm just saying, no, we can't keep on watching. Yeah. The plot is so bad, so stupid.
Conspiracy Corner. Thank you, Daniel, for
you're welcome,
Cage. I'm so tired of conspiracies as well because I'm doing gigs with this guy.
Ah, shut up, David. We're gonna listen.
I feel very confident.
No, don't mind me, Jack. I'm
today, well, you know, we're a bit light.
Most of them, they're actually truth. You just don't want to face the truth.
Sorry, Jack, I didn't mean.
Well, have you ever heard of Denver International Airport?
Yes, I've been there.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
Interesting. And it's very big, right? It's huge.
Can't remember.
Oh, you can't remember. That's
drunk.
Great.
When they were
eating Ben and Jerry's out of the tub.
Huh?
Weren't you in Denver? You worked selling Ben and Jerry's?
No, that was in New York.
Oh, that's in New York.
No, me and Phil Kay went to the Aspen Comedy Festival.
Mm. Cool.
Like what year?
Jesus.
Oh, I'm just
2004 or 2005 or 2006.
Were you drinking then? Yeah, you were drinking.
No, I don't think it was. No, I wasn't, no.
Well, you've heard.
I think you were. That's
no,
a lie.
No, I wasn't.
Because I came to Ireland 2003 and you were bloody drinking.
Yeah, I stopped in 2003 though. December the 8th, 2003.
Well, I came 2003.
That's. Okay. December the 8th, 2003. The same day. The same date that John Lennon was murdered by fuckface.
Okay, so 1 year. Okay. Okay.
So you've all heard of Jeffrey Epstein's Island, but maybe there's another place for the elites, and maybe it's not somewhere that you would quite expect underneath Denver Airport. Now there's a few indications that there could be a secret cultish place under Denver International Airport. The runways form a hate symbol. If you look at the runways a certain way, they kind of look like swastika. You know, so it's also Denver International Airport is involved with biological warfare. You know, that's a bit light, the evidence on that one.
Mm-hmm.
It was built by a secret organization. It's secret.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
There's nothing secret anymore in the world.
Well, it is amazing. It is amazing.
Contributors listed as part of the so-called NWAC, New World Airport Commission, kind of close to New World Order Commission.
It is amazing, though. Like, the joy of hooking up with someone from the opposite sex you know, meeting them, them finding you attractive, you know, the art of chatting and, you know, seduction, or if that's the right term, and, you know, and then it's that there's so much value when you finally do connect physically with each other. But to remove all that build up, and these guys, you know, these Jeffrey Epsteins are so psychopathic that they sort of almost approach it like they're, you know, scientists gathering, you know, insects or something that they can just do things to. It's fucking very unnatural and inhuman. But I mean, why would they advertise this secret lair by putting, you know, swastika things?
Little symbols. Well, I think there's a thing of...
they are not that visible. Like, from the first look, you have to go above and probably have a...
Well, there's all these things that, like, you know, like...
Sorry, I don't believe it, but anyway. So.
No, I don't. But there's all these things, like, you know, where there's this idea about elites, you know, and there's this grand conspiracy about, like, that elites have their hidden places, hidden meeting spots. And... I mean, that's not really conspiracy. That's, like, true. Like, people hang around with their own type of people. It's not necessarily a nefarious
thing.
Didn't
that guy, Alex...
Alex Jones, he came across Bohemian Grove.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, and he was...
But it sounded like he was referring to Epstein's Island.
Yeah, and he's been talking about Jeffrey Epstein's Island, all those kind of things, like, way before, you know? Mm. But he's...
No one wanted to hear
because
about
he's
it.
The way he... talks, he's all crazy and everything. So, and
see, a lot
and
of
he
stuff,
said, and he says a lot of crazy shit, but a lot of the stuff he says comes true. So,
a lot of stuff, though, you see, you know, the way they talked about Bill Cosby,
mm-hmm.
and they said there was people kind of knew, but they didn't know, there was sort of rumors, and so there's a lot of that in Ireland among certain, you know, the certain celebrities, certain people within mm-hmm. entertainment, or I'm sure. In all walks of life, but because it never goes to court or it's never reported,
kept secret,
so that nobody really, and then people, when it finally does get called up to court or whatever, then people say, why didn't anybody say anything? Well, people are saying stuff, but they're not actually
as well. Things cost money as well. Like
they're afraid
a court case costs money, so. You know, and it's hard to win a court case, especially when you have like certain evidence that's, you know, you don't have red-handed evidence. Like Conor McGregor is an example now where, you know,
can we talk about this stuff, Jack?
But Conor McGregor's got a bunch of allegations against him, right?
Yeah.
It's on the news. You can
right.
read it.
Okay,
like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
He's got a bunch of allegations. Like, yeah. you know, and you know, generally people settle because they get a payout. Well, you know, because if they bring it to
rich people don't go to jail.
Yeah, because you can pay it off. If you go to trial, you have to pay the lawyer. You have to pay.
Oh, you mean the plaintiff or the,
yeah,
the
unless the government picks up the case. But yeah, I don't know. Like, that doesn't seem to happen that much in Ireland. Like you see, in America, they have the U.S. Government versus whatever.
Sometimes in Ireland as well, if it's like a murder case. People's versus, but if you do it like civil court, then you need your own lawyers, you need your own money. But as we say, you know, I was listening to this podcast, Secret Word, about those guys from Abercrombie and Fitch,
mm-hmm.
and apparently, you know, they were like women saying, "Oh, I've been abused," you know, so. And they were
targeting models,
but they were targeting young men and having the same sort of party. The CEO of Abercrombie and Fitch. So there's Mike Jeffries and his partner Matthew Smith. So they had this operation going. They would go on the weekends to different hotels and having like sex parties. So they would employ young guys. Well, they weren't underage, but you know, like you can, you know, lure people in, promise them something. They were paid, but they weren't. You know, they weren't.
So but I know this is terrible. What are we relating this to, or what's the point?
You
of
know,
this?
Like from Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
You know, using women and using them for sex. The same happens to young men. Who are just lured and used for sex,
okay.
and not necessarily wanting to do it.
I remember the Abercrombie and Fitch. It used to be on Dame Street, and you used to walk by it, and they'd have like a fella with a six pack, you know.
Yeah.
And girls would come and take pictures of them and everything.
Yeah, and they you know, they only employ model like looking guys, and they said that any older persons was not supposed to come to the store.
Oh yeah, and they didn't do XL clothes.
They actually fire a pilot who was driving a jet, Abercrombie Fitch jet, because he was over 40 or was too old.
It's funny, you know, when you think about tastes and body shapes and all that kind of thing. I mean, I don't know if there still is a movement, but why are models, female models, why are they so young, and why, and they don't have that many curves? Maybe it's different now, but a lot of the designers, fantastic designers, brilliant, and they're gay men, a lot of gay male designers, and so they're attracted to, they're not into women. Like, I'm into, I love a big ass, I love curves.
But what was before?
Mama, just let me finish me.
That was an Al Pacino.
Let me finish me little train of thought that you're trying to jump on and pull the fucking emergency cord. Like the curves, like this, love those curves and all that, right? And so I guess the guys don't, because they're gay and they like guys. So they get women who are kind of androgynous or sort of quite boy-like, and so they're very shapeless or whatever. And so it's an impossible thing to try and get as a woman to look like that. Is that a point I'm making? Is it a fair point?
Yeah, but
you see a lot of these models walking down the runway, and they have quite boyish bodies, and women, real women, the kind of women that I like, they have curves, and they've got big, gorgeous bums and lovely big legs.
Well, I'm just saying here,
big massive Nicki Nacki Norris.
I've heard the name, but I can't say I really know much about her. Twiggy,
yes,
in the 60s.
There you go.
She was kind of the
waif.
She was the first, like, you know, like,
oh,
she was all skinny. So she started the kind of trend, and then over time, it says here, it's only in the 1980s that the designers began favoring ultra thin models. So. There was like a progression, you know, but now you see, like, especially with, like, because, you know, you think back to like the 2000s, 90s or whatever, you know, you had Paris Hilton and it's all like little tight clothing, not many curves, all skinny. But then like Kim Kardashian became super famous and popular, and all the girls.
Yeah, but she's not a model. She is social.
Thank God for Kim Kardashian.
But whatever Kim Kardashian is now didn't exist beforehand, you know, so the model stopped being so famous, and it was Paris Hilton, then it was Kim Kardashian, these kind of lifestyle people, and then people wanted to make themselves like that. And Kim Kardashian, she is a model as well, because she models loads of clothes and loads of brands.
But she's not a catwalk model, but
she's been on catwalks as
well. She's probably paid for.
Okay.
Whatever. Anyway, she's all curvy, so she changes the trends, and now girls want to be curvy. And also, there's body positivity movement and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, if you look at the 1800s or whatever, and they had their bohemian period where, you know, you see all the paintings, it's all naked women who are big and voluptuous.
God, I should have been living in the 1800s. Okay, that's what we've took out of today. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning into And That's Why We're Not Together. We're finished our holiday. We're back. We're ready to fight. We're ready to do it. This 2024 is going to be a great year for everyone. Tell your friends about this podcast, because we'll never stop. And we're going to create wealth for you and for everyone. This is a body positivity forum. Thank you, Hannah, my sidekick, and my friend. My two princes, our two princes, Jack and Daniel. See you all next week. Mwah. We love you. Take your baby by the hand and make her do a handstand. And take your baby by the heel. Do the next thing that you feel. We were so in phase.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.